is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, BTC, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Anyway Insurance Agents and Brokers, Popeyes, Bronze Electric Motors, and Cisco Bahamas Food Services.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We have quite a number of things going on that we need to talk about today. Your BPL bills are going to go up. We'll talk about that in a second. And the Minister of Immigration is... Not on the same page as the vast majority of us, clearly. And now they're murdering bus drivers out on the street. So we're in a bad way. I don't think that anyone out there is still of the opinion that this is normal, that this makes any sense, that we're having murders at birthday parties, at baby showers, at Arawak Key, bus drivers are being killed. I don't think anyone's of the opinion anymore that this must be just a normal thing. Minister of Immigration says there's no immigration crisis. We just had a... group of illegal migrants land in Crooked Island, it appears to be. So we're just kind of floating along, you know, of the opinion that everything's just fine. So I think the time has come for us to move away from dreamland and start to understand that we are in a situation that is not normal, that we should be treating like an emergency, and that we have to address aggressively as opposed to just, oh, unfortunate. So we're going to blow through the murder record. I don't wish that to be the case. That's just where we're headed. With this many murders in so few days, it is clear that we will eclipse the murder record of 146 murders. It's clear to me, anyway. I've seen this movie before. I don't enjoy it, but I've seen it, and that's where we are. Okay, so we're going to eclipse those murders, and we are unfortunately going to see more carnage, more death. Okay, so I wish that weren't the case, but that's where we are. Now, let's recap quickly what we were talking about yesterday, and then I want to get into BPL. So I suggested yesterday that we focus on gang activity and dedicate ourselves to locking those people up. We suspend trial by jury. Because, you know, unless this is something that you figure is just run of the mill, I don't know why we're still clinging to these ideals that don't seem to be quite working effectively. So stop trial by juries for capital crimes. And also resume the death penalty. All right. And in addition to that, what I'd like to hear stop, although you'll keep coming with it, right, is that police need to not be so aggressive when people are threatening their lives and other people's lives, right? So you're not going to go out there and face no murderer. You're not going to go out there and face no gang member, no armed robber. You're not going to go out there and do nothing. You expect the police to go out there and work miracles, acting like these people aren't killers. How is it you could go shoot somebody, rob people, but there's pull a gun on police, but there's this, why would police do, I thought they were comfortable with death. I thought they were comfortable with gunfire. You thought you were going to go out here and just kill people and that was going to be the end of it? What did the guy say yesterday? Give them jobs? Not boring jobs, mind you, Kermie. He said the jobs are boring. That's why the guys don't show up to the jobs. Or the guys are career criminals. You want to tell me that someone who goes up and murders a bus driver on a bus stop, he was on bail or had been charged with murder previously, the driver, as I understand it. You want to tell me that somebody who's doing that, a job's going to stop them from going out and executing somebody? You want to tell me, like, giving a job to somebody is going to stop them from going out and executing a prisoner at the Rubis gas station on Mackey Street who's on work release? So I can't live in fairy tale land with anyone anymore. This has to be addressed as an emergency. And it's not only a Bahamas thing, it's a regional thing, no doubt. But lots of things are regional things. That doesn't mean that we don't approach them with serious action. You got Turks and Caicos over the weekend. 3 people were killed, 2 people shot dead by armed gunmen. All right. And another person shot in interaction with police. Now, I want you to go look at Royal Turks and Caicos Police Force, Royal Turks and Caicos Islands Police Force Facebook page. They have a picture of the police car that was shot to pieces. All right? That's what they're dealing with. While you're sitting in your position of comfort and security and telling police don't return fire, don't protect their lives and the lives of public, they're being shot at. Turks and Caicos has had at least 22 murders this year. So there's fewer than 40,000 people on Turks and Caicos. So extrapolate that to the Bahamas, right? We got 400,000 people. We've had, this would be 100 and Jesus, 5 now, Kermie? Was this 5 or 4? Anyway. We've had just over 100 murders. We have 10 times their population, easily. All right. So if we were Turks and Caicos, instead of the 100 murder count you're looking at, we would be at over 200, closer to 250. Their murder rate's 45 per capita. Ours was 21 last year per 100,000 people. And Turks and Caicos, my brother, some of the most expensive resorts in the Caribbean, super high-end clientele. An American tourist was killed. We're sending police officers to Turks and Caicos to help. So are the British. What's going on isn't normal. And you can't look at these criminals as if they're lost little children who just didn't have enough support and the government didn't provide an infrastructure for them. These people are career criminals who are killers, and they should be treated as such. There's no yeast program that's going to help them. There's only two things that are going to stop them from doing what they're doing: death or prison. Now, I don't feel no type of weight about a killer. None. I know y'all want me to. That's somebody child. Yeah, somebody child killing other people's children. Your child, you must know, your child out here killing people, they eventually going to be killed or sent to prison. I feel no weight about a killer. That's just me. That's too hardcore for some of you. Y'all kind of squishy on the inside. I feel no weight. So figure out which one we want to do. Or we could do a combination of both. It's going to be death or prison. Or prison, then death. We could do that too, because I believe we should resume the death penalty. It don't have to be hanging. There's 1,000 ways to execute someone. That sounds too cool for y'all. What if they're unfairly imprisoned? Y'all, this situation looked like this is something that they're dealing with precision out here. These gangs have no fear. These killers have no fear. They go almost anywhere now and do this, unless there's some security level threat. You're on Robinson Road, bus driver shot dead. What kind of country do we have on this one little island? I can't say the police aren't working. I just saw police through, I believe it was Fleming Street, about 8 of them armed to the teeth. When I say to the teeth, all of them had automatic rifles. And they went and got somebody. And you know what the people were doing? Through the corner? Cussing them. That's what y'all on. Y'all soft. I can't do it no more with all this. Oh, the poor boys and it got to stop. You got to make choices. All right, you can engage in this death style, and that's what can happen, and we can just wrap it up. Or you can abide by the law. We copying the same stupidity they got going on in America. The only problem is, in America, they spread out. So you don't got to encounter it. So the same gang culture they got going on in America, Jamaica, other places, we're so deeply in Haiti, too. We're so deeply embedded in it now that I don't know that anything's going to solve it other than, for real, a purge or putting these people through the rehabilitative corrective service, or just wing it and let them walk free. So they don't kill a four-year-old shooting at each other. When they start shooting at each other with automatic weapons, because they've been doing that, and they start killing innocent people en masse because they don't care no more, what are we going to say then? That's somebody child? I don't care who child it is. That don't give you the right to be out here causing havoc. I don't care if it's the prime minister child. I don't care if it's the archbishop child. Either we going to be serious about this and condemn it and take aggressive action, or we can keep playing at it. Okay? Turks and Caicos, for now, is worse than we are, which I feel for them because they have super high clientele, super high-end clientele. And some people say, well, it's because of the Dominicans and the Haitians, and there's a lot of Jamaicans there. I don't know who it is or what it is, and I don't know who's... They got a gang problem. We have a gang problem. And we need to address it aggressively, as if it's an emergency. Our streets are becoming less and less safe. You got to, Lakermi, you got to walk around with your head down now. Don't say nothing to nobody. Don't look nobody in the eye. Don't bump into nobody. Don't rear up if you're in traffic. When the fellas smoking their joint and running the light, let them go. When they throwing the Guinness bottle out of the car and check of it, just let them ride. When they cursing, swearing, acting stupid in front of your children who you trying to struggle to raise properly, just let them go off. Right? Try to frequent wherever that's happening as little as possible. And make your circle smaller. And see if you could avoid it. I don't even know what's happening anymore. I was walking along Village Road the other day. My wife had my car and the road all break up, so I didn't want to take her car on the road. So I was just walking to the store, right to Park Gate, right? I passed three vagrants on Village Road. right? Clearly have mental issues. I pass a liquor store. There's a guy laying out on his back. Can hardly move at the liquor store. So I stop in for a beer. He's in the front door, right? And I'm like, is this not illegal to sell this man alcohol? So he's got his pint almost empty in front of him. He's drinking in front of the liquor store until he's passed out. He starts to wake up when I pass by him. I'm trying to go in the store to get a beer, right? Collect Gold, if you must know. Or Modelo, but this time it was Collect Gold. He's like, help me up, help me up, help me up. So I'm like, okay. Trying to assess the parameters of this, right? I go and I get my beer. I come out. He's like, help me up. I just need to get help up. Rewind. The guy at the liquor store, I was like, what's going on with this guy? He's saying he needs help. Is it okay? He was like, you could help him, but it don't matter. He just can fall back down. And I wanted to go like, then why in the hell are you selling him alcohol? If you know this is the result. But anyway, I can't solve every problem. So I go outside and I help him up. All right. I don't know if he's soiled himself. I don't know what's going on. He's got maybe four teeth in his mouth. And I help him up and I go, what's happening, man? I was like, you can't do this to yourself. You can't sit here and drink yourself into this sort of stupor. And so he says, okay. I just want some aspirin. I go, okay, I'm a get aspirin. So I asked the liquor store guy, I'm shouting into the door now. I'm like, you got aspirin? He's like, yeah. So I go in the store. I'm like, how much is aspirin? I go in the store. He goes, $1. So I go in the store, Kermie, right? He's shaking out two cigarettes out of an Aspen pack of cigarettes. And I go, no, I want aspirin. He goes, that dude don't want aspirin. And the drunk dude's hollering, no, you gotta ask the cigarette. Bring me the cigarette. And I buy him the cigarette because I'm already in this, right? I'm already a part of this. I can't just check out now, right? So I buy him the cigarettes as much as I oppose cigarette smoking. He doesn't pass out. This man is living like this. He's older than me. And then he's like, I give him the cigarettes. And I go, I don't have a light, man. I can't help you. And we've already interacted enough, right? Clearly, he hasn't bathed in days. And so he goes, okay, I need $3 to get something to drink. I said, man, are you crazy? Or do you think I'm going to give you $3 more for you to go get drunker when your liver failed? And then Simeon Hall always says, just give. I can't, Simeon Hall. Not if I see you flopping out. I can't. And he specifically said he wanted the money to go buy more liquor, right? The cigarette's going to pick him up a little bit, the nicotine, and then he's going to go buy more liquor, pass out in front of the liquor store. And people driving by just, this whole time, Kermie, that I'm trying to help him, there's a woman across the street in tattered clothing. This is on Village Road. Something happened when they started the road work, brother. I might as well tell you. In tattered clothing, screaming at the top of her lungs, cussing this man out. I don't know if she knows him or whatever like that. Cussing me out. What am I doing to this man? Da-da-da-da-da-da. I had to go. Right? I walked home and I drank my beer in 3 seconds. And I used like half a gallon of hand sanitizer. That's just the environment we coming up in around us. There's a sense of a free-for-all. Anyone do anything anywhere. Murder, fall down drunk, scream at people, freak out on people. But we're acting like this is just something that's a little bit amiss, and if we maybe put some more resources from the government on it, it's all going to get fixed. There are systemic issues we have in this country, and they go beyond economics. Economics plays a part. I'm not naive. But there are issues that we have that we need to get serious and aggressive about. Because I ain't with all this. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Just got bumped up. Bundled fiber customers enjoy up to 3x the speed increase for free. That means if you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, or the Extreme 100 TV Max bundle, or even the Extreme 150 Plus Talk 24/7 Plus TV Max bundle, your internet speed just went to 300 megabits per second. Nothing to do. Just keep doing you.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Bowflex Barbie here to tell you all about the Live Fit for Fall promotion brought to you by US Beef and Celsius Essential Energy Drink. During the months of October and November, when you shop at Super Value and Solomon's locations in Nassau, look out for the featured cut sticker on high-quality US Beef. Purchase that cut along with 3 cans of Celsius Energy Drink, and you'll be entered to win a brand new air fryer. Visit BahamaFood.com for a list of participating stores and promotion details. Excited to have you join me and my fit foodies as we live fit for fall.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the revolution. We were talking about crime. And we also got to talk about BPL. We got time today. I don't know what y'all are doing anymore. I don't know what's happening. Kermit tells me that the bus driver. Oh, okay. So the word is that was charged with murder twice and got off. Anyway, let me resume. You just got bumped up. Bundle Fiber customers enjoy up to 3 times the speed increase for free. That means if you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle or the Extreme 100 TV Max bundle or even the Extreme 150 Talk 24/7 Plus TV Max bundle, your internet speed just went up to 300 megabytes per second. Nothing to do, just keep doing you. Okay. You got bumped up 3 times the speed for free. I got one of these, buddy. I got my phone, my internet. That's it. And TV. My phone, internet, and TV is with BTC. So I should have faster internet. And actually, BTC Fiber is the best thing they've done in like 20 years. The only problem is if it does go out, like you... Actually, even if the internet goes out, the TV still works. The phone and the TV still work, but the internet, it goes out and you're kind of crippled. But I need my internet. But if the whole thing goes down, then even the TV don't work. And you got to have this... Like, I've ruined my children because I've allowed them to watch streaming on separate TVs. So, like, if they have to watch a show together, it's a constant fight because they each believe they have the right to watch whatever they want, whenever they want. So I fail them in that regard, but we'll see how it all works out. Okay. Okay. So you can call me, you can message me, cousin, and you want me to read this and respond to it. It's not going to happen, you know? Do me a favor, right? Rephrase your whole energy there and then go, you're not going to call me and I'm going to give you the thing to read it, give you the time to read it. So do you say it in a more genteel manner, right? And we could talk. You're speaking about the Haitians, and that's fine. If you feel that this has something to do with the Haitians, we can talk about that, okay? I don't know that it makes sense in its entirety, but we could talk about it. Okay, but you're not gonna lead off cursing me, and I read it and entertain you. You cannot. Does that work that way in your life? Like in your normal life, you start cussing people and they start engaging you in conversation and considering what you say after, or do they just focus on the disrespectful cussing part? Let me know how this works for you in your regular life. If people respond that way to you regularly. See, social media has warped the way, to a large extent, that we communicate. So it's text messaging. So we don't actually consider the impact of our words. We just say the harshest thing so that we can feel like we're getting our point across. You would never do that in conversation with somebody face-to-face, particularly among men, right? You're not going to start off cursing a man and then expect him to listen to what you're saying because he's not going to hear anything past the cursing. So it ain't going to fly with me. That much is certain. I can get to BPL. Don't worry. We got a phone call. Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, good, man. How's it going?
Right here, man. I remember a month or so ago, they had some on the radio, and I was telling them about fish fry or whatever. Then somebody called back to the show, oh, that's one cousin on the phone talking foolishness, but I go to fish fry and I pay for it. I said, well, you do you. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But I, for the life of me, and then just how you just talked just now, there is a law, at least as far as I can remember, there is a law for loitering. If you ain't got $7 in your pocket, if you're drunk or not, like how the people sleeping downtown on the road, stepping over. That's supposed to be incarcerated or sent over to hell or whatever. But they say they can't do it now because they demons and they have a right to be wherever they want to be.
That's Gar. Who said that? They got a right to sleep downtown?
I talked to a police one time and they said...
He lied to you.
Right.
You ain't got a right to sleep on the street, on the side of the street.
I remember there was a law they used to tell us when we, after high school, they tell you, either you got to get on the bus and move because you're loitering. You're loitering. That's against the law. Now, what I called for, Vaughn, let me ask you this. George, I could put out my reward on your radio for $1,000.
For what?
People in breaking my wife's apartment, carry all the water pump and stuff was outside. I tell the contractor, bring them inside because somebody already said they was trying to tease it. They bring it inside. Lo and behold, the thief gone and they went inside there.
Wow.
The water pump, the water tank, the contractor tools, everything. All the tires. They said, Mother, you just can't win. You can't win around it. Every time you turn around, it's something else.
Yeah, you got to beep.
$1,000 reward for information.
For your water pump.
Water pump. The water pump was like $700.
I was going to say. The water pump ain't gonna cost $1,000.
No,
the water pump ain't gonna cost
$1,000. The water tank, the tires was over $1,000 worth of tires.
How do you get the tank? They're trucking.
Yeah, they pull up in one car apparently or whatever. The police, this happened Friday morning. The police pull up, call us Sunday morning. So they come to check out the tank. I said, boy, anyhow, we pushing. I don't know what's going on. I like I say, I know the police inundated with what's going on.
They overlook at all these murders happening because they can't keep up now. I feel bad for them.
But, Warren, I hate to keep comparing us to other people. But I know in Atlanta, the police will pull you over. If it's three of y'all in the car, we used to say that's what they call it, racial profiling. But that ain't what they're doing. They said they have the statistics of where if three of y'all in the car, 9 times out of 10, one of y'all got a warrant, we can pull this car over. So they'll follow you. So if you make the wrong turn, you get your headlight out, whatever it is, they pulling that car over.
People complain about that, right? But I don't have a problem with it.
No.
You can pull all you want because all my stuff's straight.
But the thing, one, I like that. If you check in the small stuff, don't let it wait till it get to the big stuff. That's when it's too much to handle already. But if you're running around pulling people over, searching their car for the bumper dropping off, the license plate, you can't even see the number. All these things were happening. But they wait until the place can get out and chop somebody or whatever. You know, like I say, I ain't no police. And I could imagine what they go through. I see the videos. But boy, and I think if you start from the little things, little small days, somebody steal out the shop, go pick them up from their mother house, drag them outside, carry them by the car. That's just my finding.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I play it by the book. Somebody the other day asked me to go somewhere with them. I say, A, I don't want to go nowhere with nobody. I won't be driving. And B, your car is not registered, not licensed, up to date. They're like, oh, well, you know the pandemic. I was like, bro, I'm riding with you at no unlicensed vehicle. It ain't gonna happen. But you still starting off with this disrespect. Anyway, you can't help yourself. Let me read the rest of your comment. I can just ignore the first part. It's the same one who started off cussing me. One, we've always had the drunk, always had the bad boy, always had the sweethearter. Listen to the old Calypso songs. What we didn't have was the influx of other people who have a culture of violence, and we're getting overrun by them. Okay, so you're talking about Haitians. All right, fair enough. I agree that recently Haitian migration has had an uptick because of what's happened in Haiti. At least that's what the numbers seem to bear out, anecdotally, right? But where was I when we didn't have Haitian migrants in the Bahamas? What year was this we're talking about that there weren't Haitian migrants in the Bahamas? Just help me out. Are we talking about the 17th century or when are we talking about? Let me know what time frame we're talking about. We're not talking about my lifetime, right? We're not talking about 100 years ago when from Exuma on down, traded almost exclusively with Haiti and Cuba. When are we talking about that there weren't Haitian migrants and people of Haitian descent in the Bahamas. They've been here my whole life. Now, when Duvalier came to power, things escalated. And you'll get no disagreement with me on that. And you had a lot of people fleeing because of political persecution and because of poverty. All right? Particularly when with Baby Doc and the Tonton Macoute. And then Aristide and now Moise. So there's been problems that have escalated Haitian migration into the Bahamas. But I just want to know what time frame we're talking about when there weren't Haitian migrants coming to the Bahamas. I just need to know so that I can examine this more carefully. Said no one, they were calmer. Why are you playing blind? This crew more violent. All right, so let's look at it. You're saying this crew of Haitians who are coming in are more violent. That may be. All right, and I don't live in fairy tale land, and we could talk about that with regard to BPL. That may be. I look at Haiti, a particularly Sit Salil, and I don't speak Creole. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. And Port-au-Prince, right? And there certainly is a alarming level of violence. They had 200 people killed in a matter of just a couple of days the other day. There certainly is an environment where politicians and gangs are working hand in hand, and they have an incredibly violent gang culture in Haiti. All right? There's no doubt about that. However, that doesn't mean that all Haitians are in violent gangs. I say that not because I'm dreaming this, but because I know many, many, many people who are Haitian who are not into violence and not in gangs. Now, are there some who are? I would believe so, yes, absolutely. So I just don't band them all together. I don't go, well, the gangs are hopping on boats, because that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems to be just people who are poor are hopping on boats. Now, do they have problems within the Haitian community with gangs in the Bahamas? Yes, I know that for a fact. All right? But I just don't do this thing where we do a whole lot of people. Now, illegal Haitian migration is a problem. It's always been with us, but it's gotten worse. And that's just facts. All right? And so we got to be aggressive with that as well. Now, my question is this. Let's go with you. All right? And say that it's all Haitians who are coming to the Bahamas. You set the time frame for me. I'm not sure what you're meaning. Are we doing Aristide? Are we doing Duvalier? Are we doing post-Moise? Are we doing Sweet Mickey? Like, which time frame? Help me out. But let's just say all Haitian migrants who come to the Bahamas from a particular time are violent and contributing to the murder count. And this is their thing. What do you propose that we do about that? In terms of, let's just target the Haitians. Show me what that strategy looks like. Explain it to me. That we're rooting out everyone who's Haitian who came from it. So they're going to self-confess that they came on a boat. We got to double check them for status. I think that should be everyone, actually. All right, we got to double check whether they were born here or not. All right, you're going to find yourself in a constitutional bind with that one. And then we got to prove that they're involved in some sort of illegal activity, unless the bar just is, you're here illegally, go. And that could be the bar. That's the bar for me when they talk about the new group that's in Abaco. Y'all are here illegally, send immigration, y'all got to go. When you talk about people who were born here and been here their whole lives, that's a separate issue. All right. And I know y'all want to circle back and back and back to the Haitians. I don't run from it anymore. I just don't agree with the general position on it. All right. And that's me. Life is more nuanced and complex than that. Do we have a problem with violence in certain Haitian communities? Yes. I'll never say that's not true, but we have a problem with violence in a lot of what you would consider just regular Bahamian communities. Anyway, we gotta take a break, and we'll be back after this.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution 9.9 FM. Okay. So we're touching on crime, we're touching on legal immigration. I just want to establish some sort of direct correlation between illegal migration and crime. But I'll tell you what. It would be interesting if someone studied that. I don't believe most of our, and I don't mean this as an insult, but I don't believe most of our academia are dispassionate enough to actually study this. I hate to say it like this, but I think a lot of it is colored by their own empathy toward migrants, their research. I'm being serious about that. And I'd like a dispassionate assessment of what's been happening, particularly since we started getting into the triple-digit murders. And if there, and that's what academia is about. That's what science is about. Not since the pandemic. Science has been about just do whatever the hell I say is science. But science is about asking the question. So you posit a theory. I'm a researcher at UB. I want to know. Is there a link between escalating violent crime in the Bahamas and illegal migration? And you study that, you're asking a question. And you study that and you try to see if there's in fact a link. All right? That's what science is about. It's about no matter what it is, the result is the result. So I'm not trying to color it. I'm not trying to, you know, but we've gotten so off the right track with that that now we just make up stuff. Anyway, I'll take a couple calls. I want to touch on BPL. We may have to get into BPL in more fullness tomorrow. But I need somebody to study this to convince me of that. Just your gut feeling for me to go. And even if that was the case, even if somebody said there's a link between illegal migration and crime in the Bahamas, I would say, okay, fair enough. There's a link between illegal migration and crime in the Bahamas. However, that still would not convince me to condemn an entire nation or an entire people. All right? Bahamians commit crimes too. Okay. So I can't do the blanket blame with you, but I'm interested in real data about it. We got a call. Let's do a call, and then we'll do some text messages. We'll touch on BPL, because I want to really let BPL breathe, to be honest. The murder of the bus driver threw me. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Juan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm going to be okay, that is. The crime that took place this morning,
mm-hmm.
I don't get on a record. I'm not an eyewitness. I didn't see anything, but I wasn't far away when
Jesus.
It took place, okay? I was by an ATM machine.
Right.
I heard the shot went off, and I didn't know. I didn't even sound like a gun until the security said, Lord, that's gun? And then he said that I see everybody running. And then I run towards the direction. Everything was, you know, whatever happened already took place, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when I went there, bus full of Aaron Bailey school kids, grown people, elderly people, and everybody just start running off the bus. This young girl run right into my arm, you know. I've watched these things on live, you know, and on the news, and actually seen it in person today, firsthand like that. It was kind of shocking and frightening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is this, Lord? Right in the broad day, right off from Popeye. You know, this Popeye, that's the mall. Bus stop right there. Bus stop, bam, shot dead. I say, what's this? And you know what? When we watching these things on live, we want to say to ourselves, bam, we see patrol car. One at a time, I watch my watch, right? And I watch the time. You know, ain't no police officer get there until almost 15 minutes after that incident took place.
Wow.
I am telling you. So, my question today is, it's okay, you know, for after these incidents, and I'm not paying down on the police, because I often tell people, and who knows me, know I have two law enforcement. Both of my kids work, one is the police and one work at the prison. So I say that to say, I'm not going to hit the police. But my question is, do they have the resources to fight or to tackle what we see happening right now? You ever wonder that one? Are they prepared for what's going on in this country? Do they have the necessary vehicles? Do they have the weapons the criminals are using? What are they doing? They're waiting till the incident happened, giving it time, and then showing up. You ever wonder? Because after these incidents happen, you know, they say, like, oh, you have children, and talk to them, and, oh, we need your help as a community. Okay, what about you? Where's the responsibility in the government and our law enforcement? What are they, you know, I'm wondering, are they doing enough? Sure enough they can show up, but are they prepared for what's happening?
Well,
what's going on? Do they have sufficient vehicles? Every time you hear people, you call the police.
No, they don't. No,
they
don't
mention gunshot. They don't show, or they don't come, on, or they don't have vehicles. Come on, what's going on, man? So I don't care what nobody say. What you see happen in this country, our government have to take responsibility to fix it. Sure enough, we could fix it, you know, as a community. But the government take that first and the highest, most powerful responsibility to fix it. Okay, that lays in their hand. They're going to fix it. And
yeah,
then we, even if the police
have
all of these deficiencies and delinquency, where's the staff officer? Don't they have a staff officer? Are you talking on behalf of your officers there? Because guess what? If you have sufficient patrol cars, right? When someone calls 911 or control room or whatever, how long it take you to get there?
You talking about patrol. They don't have sufficient officers.
That's what I'm saying. So I understood, because a lot leaving, going off this island, Canada, and out of, because something is happening.
And a lot of young men can't qualify.
That's what I'm saying. Fix the force. All it is it has something to do with crime, because guess what? These criminals ain't no fool, you know. They know what's happening, and if they feel like they could do and get away with it, this will continue.
I know.
They have to fix it from all angles.
Yeah, see? I'm with you. They got to fix it. I got to go. I got to move on. Let me take this call, and then we'll go to something else. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Okay, no problem. It says, Juan, the show on before you had a Barbadian activist who basically said Bahamians need to stop whining and keep taking the illegal Haitian immigrants. I see. I didn't hear that show. Someone from Barbados who relaxed visa rules for Haitians to enter and then put the restrictions back up stronger and raise money to repatriate the Haitians who came legally. Someone from Barbados is telling us we should keep taking illegal migrants? I don't believe that. I don't believe that occurred. I would have to hear that, to hear someone from Barbados dare to tell us that. Barbados, listen, also, I'm not saying there's not an illegal migration problem coming out of Haiti. Don't mistake me. I don't think any intelligent, objective observer would say that. Guyana just passed stricter laws to deal with illegal migration from Haiti. They're fleeing because the place is in turmoil. All right? Cuba just had, a couple of months ago, 800. I don't even know where they found a boat this big. They said they were heading to Florida. 800 Haitian migrants. They're fleeing. These aren't excursions set up by gang members for them to travel en masse and spread as a web throughout. Some gang members are probably coming. But these are people who are just fleeing violence, fleeing poverty. And I can't put the label on all of them that they're just these horrible people who have no social mores. That's not the case. I follow very closely what is happening in Haiti. Very closely. And Jamaica. And Barbados. I follow a lot of CARICOM. But mainly Haiti and Jamaica. And Barbados. But Haiti and Jamaica a lot. And Cuba. But I follow the Caribbean. I want to know what the hell's going on. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, they don't read the newspaper. They don't listen to the news. In Nassau now. They don't listen to the news here. They don't read the newspaper here. They have no idea what's going on. The only information they get is through WhatsApp. How do you live like this? So I can't live like that in my country. I'm in the news here, and I got to know what's going on around me in the region. I got to understand what's moving and shaking. Anyway, I don't believe someone from Barbados would speak up and talk to us about what we must do with illegal migration. When Barbados told people to come there legally, they come there. Barbados block anyone else from coming. Send the people back. So we must keep taking migrants? No. Direct them south. They go Barbados. McCartney, please explain to all and sundry, we don't have sufficient parents doing their job as parents. We have to stop this madness anytime the police are called. That is law enforcement time. Now, I agree that police need to come when that's law enforcement time, but there is preventative policing. It's been scientifically proven that increased patrols, increased police presence does deter particularly crimes of opportunity. Are we not going to get the BPL? We will. We'll touch on it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, comrade. How you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Wonderful. See, I can understand Barbados saying that, you know. Mm-hmm. One, even though you don't believe it, because ain't nobody going to Barbados way out there. Barbados in the ocean by itself.
No, man. You're taking a Bermuda, eh?
Barbados.
Barbados in the ocean by itself?
Barbados is in the ocean. When them fellas then go on the beach, they got to be going on the beach in the back of the hotel.
Uh-huh.
You got to use safeboard around Barbados.
Okay.
That means staple fish is flying fish.
Uh-huh.
Ain't no illegal immigrants going there.
I see.
They too far out. It took me from Miami by air, by big jet, to get to Barbados 3 hours by big jet. So,
I see.
I could understand. I could see why they're saying that. They ain't got the problems what we got.
Mm.
But I am now officially calling for the Minister of National Security and all of those fellas and the like to resign. You understand me?
Okay.
If he don't figure we got, they don't figure we got no problem. Him and with them, they need to resign. I tell you a secret. I tell you a story, a true story. I had one of my best friends was Haitian. He was helping me put my air conditions up in my club. And we talk about crime and all of that stuff. And you know what he said to me?
Mm-hmm.
He said, let me tell you something, stopper. He said, anytime you see we do foolishness around here, if we just hop on the Haitian sloop and we go chill out in Haiti for a couple of months, I hope that kind of corrects your belief that crime may not be associated somewhat with illegal immigration.
I didn't say that's my belief, you know. I say I need evidence.
Well, I just give you.
So
one.
I don't. I believe in God. Like, you understand what I'm saying? That's faith.
Yeah, me too.
But I need evidence too. When you could tell me something what humans doing that
but
we could actually try.
When it happened, see, it really does happen. There's a whole list.
I'm not saying it doesn't. I've covered crime for years and years and years. I know a lot of Haitians have been involved in crimes in the Bahamas, particularly among others of Asian descent. I know that for a fact. But for you to tell me all of this is because illegal migrants are coming, you got to line it up for me.
I would never say that, not as an intelligent person. But see, all we have to do, one, is follow the trails, you know, like somebody said yesterday on one of your shows, the Haymans don't normally act that way. If you see machetes coming out, then we know for Haman. So if you see an action coming out, we need to follow that trail and find out where that's coming from. All we got to do is look over the border to the Saudis, and we can see the kind of reaction that's happening over there in Haiti. And then we can probably apply sometimes that, okay, well, I understand why that's happening here. But I don't want to take up too much of your time. Other people want to call in. Thanks for taking the call, comrade.
No problem. Appreciate you. I can send you a map of the Caribbean, eh? What's in Barbados by itself? It says, the news media is being controlled like a puppet on a string. There's no investigative journalism. The last one was Clint Watson. And you see how he switched. Clint was doing investigative journalism? What he investigated? But he's right. There's not much investigative journalism. Now, I know who controlling us. Is it the Haitians? Because they don't have money. Like, why? Anyway, he's right. There's not a lot of investigative journalism, although you need to tell me what the last investigative thing Clint did. So here's what I mean by investigative journalism. Just so I talk about the UB research. So if I had time, if Juan had time, and Juan does not have time, all right? I know y'all think this is the only thing I do. It's not. If I had time, I would go look up the last 10 years of murder victims. And if I had access, and I would go track their immigration status, their birth certificates, all this stuff. If I just wanted to look into if it is something to do with people of Haitian descent or whatever like that, if I had time, I would track all that. I'm talking thousands of people. Right? But I don't. Now, the people at the university may have time and resources. That would require me to not do anything, including this show, for, probably 6 to 8 weeks, given carte blanche access to people's personal immigration records. That's what that would require. So just try to wrap your mind around what you're saying. As to who's controlling us, I don't know. I'm being controlled by the Guardian. That much is certain. Otherwise, I couldn't speak to anyone else. And let me know what Clint's last big investigative report was. To suck teeth, Barbados has a surf side and a beach just like us. Who's take their children for a beach day out of Clifton Pier? Barbados is north of Trinidad and Tobago. Okay? It's South America, Venezuela. You can see Trinidad from some of the coast of Venezuela. Trinidad, Tobago's on top of it. Then it's Barbados. Then it's like St. Lucia, St. Martin, a couple other ones. And then you get to, I skipped a couple, Barbuda and Antigua. The whole, y'all know what the Caribbean look like? No? Anyway, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Mr. McCartney, how are you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I think it needs to be a comprehensive approach to solving the immigration problem between one immigration ministry, national ministry, and social service. I think we should look at creating a resident registry. Mm-hmm. So what that means, if you reside in that house, you need to specify who lives in that house, for one. I think when people apply for work visas, if the people are out of the country, they need to guarantee that they have someplace to live by the person who's going to be bringing them in. Secondly, they should have a system where they can check their medical record, et cetera. And I think if there are Bahamians who are born here with two parents of illegal immigrants and they're born in the Bahamas, they should get status. But if their parents came in illegally, they should try to see how we can work them through the system if they've been here for quite some time, for example. So if two illegal immigrants had kids here and they're still illegal and the kids are now grown and they can get status, then we say, listen, how long mom been here? How long dad been here? Did they work? Did they benefit from the system? And we try to levy a fee to get them to pay that fee, that back fee, and then process them. And they don't have to leave. Maybe give them, don't give them citizen, residence, but make them pay all that back fee and get them in the system. So I think we should try to, and then we should have a quota on how many people we need to do farming that we're going to bring in, et cetera. We have to try to approach it from a, you know, a holistic approach rather than, you know.
I agree with you totally. I think, and that's very well thought out. I respect you for actually thinking through this. That's very good.
Yeah. No problem. Thank you.
That's very good. You see, so what the guy's saying is, if you're here committing crimes, you got to push out. If you just showed up and you're here legally, you got to push out. If you were born here and you haven't been involved in crime, you've been through the school system, your parents have been here, they haven't been involved in any crime, they're not squatting on land, et cetera, like that. They've contributed to the country. We need to fold them into our society, right? Legally. And I agree with him on that. I'll never condone criminal activity. Says, I live in Barbados, so I'm saying the call is 100% wrong. Oh, okay. Well, we're on the same page. You can surf on one coast, and you can do regular between on the other coast. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Because one coast is, well, they're all in the Atlantic, but closer to, or is it the Caribbean Sea? I don't know. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, everyone. What's up, brother?
I'm good, man. How are
all
you?
Is well?
Good, yes.
Hey, what's going on in the country, bro?
I couldn't. You got to tell me. I don't know what's up. They look like it's a free-for-all.
Vaughn, it's like anything buck up goes. But, you know, I want to speak on something, just engage me in for a second. You know, we always, every time when something happens in the country and it comes to crime, we talk about the Minister of National Security needs to resign. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why don't some of these callers and Texas tell the criminals to resign?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what him resigning is going to do.
I'm that's what I'm saying, Vaughn. Mr. McCarthy. This is not a church problem to say by itself. This is not a police problem. This is not the government problem. This our problems. Vaughn, let me ask you a honest question. Now, I can't say it's true, or do you think that gentleman, you know, I don't know who he is, who shot the next gentleman this morning. Do you think people know what he was going to do?
Of course not.
Huh?
I doubt it highly. Who would have known he was going to do that?
Okay. Now, do you think a lot of these crimes in the country, people don't know what people are going to do?
Oh, you're saying somebody should have ratted him out that he was going to do it. Yeah, probably. The criminals,
You know what is so funny? It's not funny hypothetically. When someone gets killed, right, Vaughn, they comes on the radio, the government, the minister, but what about your children? What about your members? Vaughn, I know people who live in a house with people selling drugs. One time ago, when the people come there, the grandmother, the blind auntie, and the son them. Innocent people, Vaughn. You know why they there? Because maybe they like to slap. You know what's killing plenty of people in this country, Mr. McCartney?
Yeah.
Easy money. Well, easy money and choking your children and your family into wrong. That's why when you see some of these persons get by the police and parents come on TV crying, I say to myself, boy, you all people, you all really ain't got no shame. You all know what your children was doing. You all know what your children doing. But they ain't gonna never call your talk show. They ain't gonna never tell your child go turn the gun in. They ain't gonna never tell your child stop selling drugs in my house. But no, but when they get killed, then they call the talk show over. The government needs to fire. The government needs to resign. This one needs to resign. Resign your family members from crime. And tell you all, talk to your family, this ain't gonna stop. It can get worse. Worse, worse, worse. So, Mr. McCartney, personally, I'm ready to start putting some money on who tomorrow we're gonna be a murder. Keep on start betting.
I know if you can lose that money.
I ain't gonna lose.
So you betting there will be a.
I ain't gonna lose, bro. Sorry to say it like that.
Yeah.
But that's,
that's
you
where we at,
day, bro.
All right, man. Yeah, that's where we at. It says Juan, there was a woman from Barbados who did say allow illegal. I don't believe that. I don't believe y'all. Y'all lying. Who showed us with CNRE? You wasn't here, hey, Ollie. I don't believe you. I'm so sorry. I wasn't here to speak to the activist, so let me ask the activist this. Which country, including Barbados, does not repatriate illegal migrants? I'm so confused. Which country in this entire hemisphere does not repatriate illegal migrants? Unless they have some sort of covenant. Like the Cubans, they go to the United States. They don't consider that illegal migration, actually. So which country doesn't repatriate? Help me, out of all the Caribbean countries and South American countries and countries in Central America and North America, which country does not repatriate illegal migrants? Please tell me. Haiti does. Barbados does. Guyana does. Venezuela does. Trinidad does. Trinidad have a problem. They don't even worry about Asians. They have a problem with Venezuelans. A major one. Cuba does. So tell me why we're special, that we should just countenance that. I have a hard time believing someone would say that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
That same caller. What's his name? Dave?
DeWitt,
yes. Mm. He's something else.
Right.
I want him to understand people be listening to him, to this radio station, year-round, because people are avid listeners, and I'm an avid listener of this show, okay? The FNM was in government, and when there was a lot of crime, he was one that said the Minister of National Security should resign. He was complaining about the amount of crimes. He was always rebuking the past government. And now this is happening, and he is just like a little puppet. It is just wrong how these people just walk back a lot of things, what they say on these radio, and thinking people don't listen to them. And he could be a person that he can be an apologist for this government. You understand? But he need not do it so often. He needs to be a bohemian first.
I gotcha.
That's what he needs to be. You understand? Because people listen to this show, and they need to understand they are not the only ones that listen to the show and that calls into the show. Thank you, Juan.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Says Juan, what about BPL? Don't worry. Let me segue here before we take a break, right? So, and this may be why the person wanted to cuss me. I'm not like a crazy petty person, right? But I can be petty, right? So, for example, your BPL fuel charge is going to go up. October, right? Who's been the one consistent person? Forget Michael Pintard. He just come in late to the show. Who's been the one consistent person since last year who told you that the fuel hedging and the government's handling of it, the current administration's handling of it, and what has clearly been a subsidization of BPL's fuel costs by the government that has, to my knowledge, not been disclosed, was going to result in higher bills the longer they delayed it? Who's the one person? Who did Anton call and scream at and run out at and everything? I told him he didn't know what he's talking about. It was about this issue. I told you so. And you're not going to like that. You can say one's arrogant, one's whatever like that. I told you, and I got receipts. I told the government this was going to happen. I told Anton and all these sycophants this was going to happen. The last time that the government fooled around with the fuel charge at the electricity corporation was during the first Christie administration. In the span of 5 years, and Al Jarrett used to get red in the face, and Al Jarrett was no bright fellow. When I used to say this, get mad, see me at arcade. You remember Al Jarrett, I'm sure. God rest the dead. In one administration, BPL went from one of the most profitable entities in this country, private or public, to flat broke. Couldn't pay its bills. Specifically because of the lowering of the tariff and the manipulation, and the lowering of the tariff brought with it BPL's absorption of fuel costs. Because BPL can't absorb $200 to $300 million in fuel a year. It cannot. I say I'm petty to say this, because this is what a petty person would do. I told you so. All right? I told the government this. I told the public this. I wrote about it. I told Anton he didn't know what he's talking about, and everyone got mad, and he's probably still mad. I hear he works at BIS now. You didn't know what you were talking about, Anton. You have no clue. This is exactly what I said would happen. You can't run from it. BPL's broke. Either the customers pay for the fuel or the government pays. The government can't pay no more. The government just absorbed $250 million, just rolled over $250 million of BPL's debt. BPL itself has $320-something million of debt. I explained this was going to happen to you. Mind you, I was living it up while things were good. All right? I was living it up when the 10.5% stayed locked in, even though BPL was paying for the fuel, and I wasn't. I knew I wasn't, but I was living it up. Because it was summertime, and my daughter would be like, Daddy, can we turn on the AC at 8:30 in the morning? I'd be like, knock yourself out, sweetheart. It ain't going to happen now. But I patiently and carefully and specifically explained this would happen. I dare anyone to call me and say I didn't, or text me and say I did not say this was going to happen. It's one of the biggest mistakes this administration has made. And I'll give you this. You went a year without any major screw-ups, this is your fault. Okay? The chickens have come home to roost, and I told you this was going to happen, and I went through this over and over and over, and now they're here. Am I happy about it? Am I happy that businesses are going to have to pay more for light bill, and your price are probably going to go up at businesses? Am I happy that tourists are going to have to pay more, and that may put a dent in our tourism sector, and restaurant prices are going to go up? Am I happy that my electricity bill is going to go up, because I always use over 800 kilowatt hours a month, and the hairdresser's bill is going to go up, and the liquor store bill is going to go up? Am I happy about it? No, I'm not. But I told you this would happen. They should have never done this. They should have never fooled with the fuel. As soon as they were unable to cover the fuel costs, they should have bumped up the fuel charge and passed it through. That's it. And you didn't do it, and this is where we are, and it sucks. But I did tell you. We'll be right back. Hello? Hey, what's happening?
At Popeyes, we foster love in everything we do. And our signature sandwiches are no different. Stop on by and try our all-new Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich. We have taken the chicken sandwich and kicked it up a notch. Taste our Louisiana Cajun seasoned chicken patty, served on a brioche bun with two pickles and drizzled with our all-new Buffalo Ranch sauce. Add a chocolate chip cookie on your order for only 90 cents. Stop by any Popeyes for your Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich today.
Love that chicken for Popeyes.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Quality.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We got it through some calls. I wasn't able to get into the BPL today. Anyway, that's my whole point, that the BPL thing, I told you this was coming. All right? So don't act brand new. People call me all sorts of names. I explained to you what was going to happen. This is where we are. Okay? We got a phone call? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Hey, a blessing. Good afternoon, Juan. How are you doing?
Boy, look who I summon. Look who I bring out of hiding.
Out of archiving.
Yeah, out of the woodwork. My God. I didn't know I was powerful like this. I didn't know. Wow.
Juan, you made some powerful statements just now.
Right.
That forced me to come out of the archives.
Okay,
know?
Okay.
Like the late Bradley Roberts used to say.
Right.
That brought the dragon out of hiding, right?
I see. My Lord, I feel blessed today. Go on.
I made an appearance on your other colleague, Bob Dwight's show, last week. So, you know, I can't go on Dwight's show and don't call in on your show. But
right.
Nonetheless, one,
come.
Which you were saying right before your break,
mm-hmm.
right? That wasn't what, that's not the point that I was seeking to hold you to as it relates to what the government was doing. And I pulled on the side.
You didn't tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about?
No. Juan,
you didn't say that to me?
Hear me out, Juan. I would not say that first and foremost. I would challenge you on the past, right? But hear me out, Juan.
Okay.
I didn't listen to it live, but I had an opportunity to go back and listen to the emergency press conference called by Prime Minister Davis, KC, this morning, right? And I listened to the executives, in particular, when the executives of BPL came up to explain the technical aspect, along with Minister Sayers and the Financial Secretary,
right.
Mr. Simon Wilson, right? And they all did a wonderful job, I thought, in addressing the press, as the Prime Minister did in facing the realities of what BPL has to deal with and coming to the Bahamian people in a respectful, transparent, and honest manner and explaining what will be coming down the pipe or down the chimney and explaining what he would have attempted to do to prevent putting any further burden on the back of an already struggling Bahamian class, business class, etc. Mm-hmm. But one, the point that I made back then when we had this debate still remain true. It was one of the executives. It was either the chairman or the general manager who explained that, look, when you look at the various types or the various mix of oils that they use, when you look at the when you look at the projections and you look at the actuals in terms of what they actually use, that is where the difference came in. Yes, they had projections. And finally, he also explained that, yes, the hedge fund still remain in place, except what they projected the performance of the hedge fund would produce was not what it actually produced, because the reality is it's based on the availability of machines. It's based on the availability of the generators that they're using and the types of fuel that those generators uses and the types of mix and the percentages of the mix that determine the actual outcome, not the actual projection, but the actual outcome of uses. And so he explained very carefully, methodically, and technically, based on the actual uses and blends of the different types of oil, they were not getting the full benefit that they anticipated, because they actually ended up using more of the extravagant oil than they projected using, where they would have gotten the majority of the benefit from, or where they would have received the benefit of the cost savings based on what hedge fund was left in place. And so, in essence, Juan, can you hear me, Juan?
I hear you. Go ahead.
In essence, his explanation, technically, without saying it, he was actually stating that the hedge fund was not useful in the exercise that it was entered into, because they did not go along with, or the realities did not dictate the outcome that they projected for the use of the hedge fund. And so that's it, plain and simple, Juan. The government was not flip-flopping. The minister was not flip-flopping. The government did not try to hide any information. They were very transparent. It's just that they come out and provide that very technically sound explanation that was provided by either the chairman of the board or the GM at BPL, who provided that very sound information today. And so I was highly impressed, one, and the Prime Minister was out front the entire time explaining that he will not allow for the Bohemian people who already suffered over the last 2 years a terrible economic loss. We have some persons in many instances, or hundreds or thousands of instances, would have lost the very womb that provided covering over them and their family. He would not allow for another increase on the back or to burden a percentage of the Bohemian population that could least afford to bear that burden one. That's what the Prime Minister did, and that's what a Prime Minister is supposed to do, rather than allow for the people who could least afford it to suffer even further after having already suffered over the last 2 years and so on. What I explained to you back then, I'll end here, except you have something you want to engage me on.
No, go ahead. I can get deeper into tomorrow. Go ahead.
What I explained to you then is exactly as it was, and it still is today. And I listen to the rest of the press conference. God bless me to see tomorrow. I listen to what you have to say, and I'll add even further to your conversation. Thank you very much, Tawant. It was a pleasure talking to you.
I can fight you, Anton. I'm so happy to hear from you. I feel like you, the prodigals, I can go, Ali, go bring out the fatted calf. We can feast. Okay? I can fight you, Anton. I was recording these shows, you know, but I can fight you. I every single show is recorded. And I can pull it up very quickly. But anyway, I can fight you. We can feast. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, comrade.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, Lord, what you going to do, man?
Right.
You wake up, I thought. But
I can find it. I can go through it tomorrow. It's fine.
See,
yeah, no problem.
One, what you were saying, right? I thought I kind of missed it. What you were saying, you was correct. Everything that you predicted, because back then they was calling you pundits of the FNM. And now your prediction comes through, I guess they can call you something else. You understand me? But I call back for one purpose, and I hope you'll allow me 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I am a nationalist. A nationalist. Because nobody, just like yourself, bashed Dr. Minnis and his administration more than me, especially during the pandemic and the foolish steps that they were making. And there is no difference with the Progressive Liberal Party. I want to tell you that. You understand me? I am a nationalist. And I didn't tell the Minister of National Security to resign based on my feelings on no color. I told him to resign based on what he said on your newscast that we don't have a problem. Because if I give Vaughn a job to do something in my yard or as a government official, and he come back and throw up his hand and say, we ain't got no problem. I can't do that. And the problem persists. What you want me to do with him, Juan? What you want the Bahamian people to do with him?
I mean, I don't feel he need to go resign yet. I won't give him a chance.
You ain't need to resign yet? Right. And he done throw up his hand and say, we ain't got no problem, Juan?
Who are you talking about? Keith Bell? You talking about
every day?
Are you talking about Keith Bell?
I mean, yes.
You were saying Minister of National Security.
Well, I might have been mixing up the names.
Immigration.
Or whatever the case may be. But whoever say we ain't got no problem, they need to resign forthwith. Because that ain't to me prior to the election.
No,
that ain't what he told me.
I don't know where he coming from with that. I can be real with you.
You understand what I'm saying? We have problems.
Yeah.
In case Dwight don't see it, we have problems. And Dwight, my name is either the GNN or Stopper.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
In case you need to know who I am. And I am a very honest, upfront person.
Right. Okay.
All right, Juan. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. We got to take a break, or are we good? No? Break? Are we okay? We don't need to break. Okay, good. I got to get to your text messages. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
So I can wait as long with you, Juan.
Hey, what's happening?
We need justice, law, and order in this country. I'm holding, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to ask you, right? That oil plant in which Esso supposed to have built.
Shell,
right. Or Shell, pardon me, right. That's right. They had built there?
No, not even close. They haven't even struck a deal. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me ask you another question.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Miller always were talking about where we should be getting oil from. Mm-hmm. Has God ever been established the place in which he had mentioned?
Leslie Miller wanted us to build, well, there were several things going on, Leslie Miller. One was Peta Visa, which I don't know would have been a good idea with Venezuela. The second thing Leslie Miller was talking about was LNG, right? And Miller was talking about 20 years ago what we're talking about now, right? And what we had was a bunch of environmentalists sounding an alarm that saying the planet can blow up and ruin the oceans and kill us all. And we stupidly did not do it. And that, what Leslie Miller had proposed, would have leapfrogged us to where we're trying to get back then. And I don't agree with everything Leslie Miller did at BEC or BPL, and I don't agree that we should have jumped into PDVSA, a deal with PDVSA, but the LNG plant that Leslie Miller was talking about decades and decades ago, we stupidly abandoned that in the face of minority voices uproar in the public.
Got you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Long time we could have been dealing with LNG. But nations who are looking at serious energy leap forward, they're not exploring LNG. Like, I'm not saying I don't want an LNG plant. I do, because LNG is more cost-effective, but it's still fossil fuel. You know? But sometimes we get triggered, right? Environmentalists go, and then we all just line up and go, no, that's about the environment now. They got nuclear power in Florida. For the longest now. And we run it, we can't have LNG. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be back.
Your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Opa! Burger King Nassau is bringing you the fresh Greek flavors you love done the BK way. Come and enjoy the new Greek Whopper with a delicious combination of tzatziki sauce, feta cheese, red onions, and refreshing cucumber on our signature flame-grilled patty. Or go Greek with a plant-based Whopper or crispy chicken sandwich. All three dishes are topped off with lettuce and tomato and made the Burger King way. Bring your friends and experience the Greek Whopper lineup at BK Nassau, where taste is king.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. I can't take any more calls. Tomorrow I will get into BPL and break down what was said today and explain what I mean when I said I told you so, and we'll break that down. But that's wild, wild stuff. I get ready for a rocky ride, I can tell you that much. This is Juan, please cut on tone. He's talking garbage. BP all day and it'll be tomorrow, delaying the inevitable to try and pacify the public, knowing exactly what the government needs to do. It says they cuss Minis, but the fuel hedging his administration implemented was a good idea. It was a good idea. I agree with that. Anton is reading illicitly. It's a serious reaction. One, they waited until the cooler part of the year to raise the rate. That's exactly what they did. Says Leslie Miller also said we should buy gas from Cuba, cheaper, but we were scared of America, who don't mind charging us high, high prices. Well, that still would have been Venezuelan gas. But yeah, I think that we got, you know, I'm all for environmental stewardship, but we let some of these people psych us out. I thought I'll never say this. I can't believe I missed Anton's voice. Yeah, man. I mean, we're not enemies. I want Anton to call and friends disagree. People disagree and they, you know, tempers flare. It happens. But I respect Anton's contributions. I was right, and he was wrong in this instance, but I respect his contribution. Did Dwight bite his tongue on that last call? That's an everyday, and he's the biggest flip-flopper. Ask him to explain how well Rodney Monker is stopping crime. Oh, you mean DeWitt. What a waste of our taxpayer money. Yeah, I don't see no crime getting disrupted, I can tell you that. So I think the Barbadian activist was proposing that we have a program for legal Haitian migration. I can't say how that differs from what we already have. Yeah, we already have a program for legal Haitian migration. But I told Cecil, her references to her Barbados program were comparing apples to passion fruit. Barbados is half our Nassau population with four times the available landmass and beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lush green. The parallels of migration simply don't exist. Yep. Yeah, Barbados used to be their main export, used to be sugarcane. I don't think they utilize that much agriculture now, but they have a much more developed agricultural sector than we do. It says, SACPASSE, I want to determine whether the government solved the immigration problem. My first review, the number of other problems that our government has solved over the past 40 years. My conclusion on the immigration problem is that it would be best for me and my family to immediately begin Haitian Creole lessons. Bonsoir. And that's fine. So when I'm 47 now, I met Haitians here and grew up with Haitians. The younger ones are not like the 60s, 70s, 80s Haitians. There was a time I did the gang thing in the 90s. The majority of us was young Bahamians and Haitians. With last names, Josie, Davis, Brown, Stubbs, Bain, Roll, some of the gang leaders, last name and serious members of various gangs. Haitians were in the gangs as well, but Bahamians can be violent and vicious. Absolutely. Are the Haitians in gang activity and children of Haitian descent in gang activity? Yes, absolutely. And I'll say this because I got to go. Here's why I don't demonize people, right, based on that. You just, it's just Haitian, it's pejorative, and that's it. So are there Haitians in gangs? Sure. Are there children of Haitian immigrants who may have come to the country illegally? Involved in gang activity? Absolutely. But the children of Haitian migrants are also a part of the police force who protect you. They're part of the nurses that when you're in a car accident and you're screaming for your life at PMH, they're the ones who help keep you alive. They're in the immigration department. They're in the upper echelon of government offices. They're service workers. They work for the Department of Environmental Health. They play an integral role in our nation. And I'm probably a minority voice out here about this, but I'm not going to demonize somebody just because they're Haitian or their parents are Haitian. Because I know so many people like this and of so many different nationalities who contribute to the Bahamas and help the Bahamas run. So I can't start there with that. There's a problem with illegal Haitian migration. There's no shortage of challenges in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But I've yet to see it get solved in a productive manner by demonizing people just for being of Haitian descent. Because here's what's real. Some of y'all got to look back into your own past. And where you come from might not be so distant from where a lot of them come from. All right, and that's where I am with that. So we're going to go. Lang Show is next. You guys take care out there. Sorry I couldn't get to all your text messages. Have a great day, Bahamas.